Did you guys, were you guys there for the whole card?
Yeah, yeah. I watched from first fight all the way through. They had a, the first fight, the lightweight guys, the featherweights, they actually got it in. Hey, no shit. They threw the equal same number of punches. Same number of power punches. Like, they, like, 340 freaking punches or something like that. I mean, they were getting it in. They were there to do work. But I don't know, man. I mean, that Jake Paul BS, I mean, I'm just, like, laughing at that. I wouldn't, nobody even cares. Jake Paul is a YouTube sensation, child star, Disney.
Is it Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
It's Jake Paul or Logan Paul. I don't know. I don't care.
They're brothers. They're both.
They're both fucking tools.
Yeah, they're both douchebags, dude. I'm not watching any of that bullshit. Didn't somebody get knocked out from that, though? What the fuck happened
there?
Yeah,
he knocked out freaking Nate, somebody, the basketball player. Yeah,
Robinson?
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Oh, so neither one of them are fucking boxers. These are just two fucking douchebags going at it.
Two buffoons. Yeah. And they're not even good fighters. They spent more time hugging each
other. No, he's a YouTube influencer, dude. He's not a...
Well, here's what I'm getting at. I mean, it's not like watching Kimbo Slice or... fucking Masvidal back in the day doing the backyard fights where it was legit fights. Like, you didn't want to be involved in either one of those. These dudes were getting it in. But no, like, these two guys would, like, throw a couple punches, hug each other. Like, the ref was more involved in the fight than the freaking two fighters were, trying to get them to break it up and actually throw hands. That's the thing, man. It's like, people don't understand this. It's one of those things, man. Like, you can't go into boxing with no skill set. And try and box. Like,
dude, boxing takes years, dude.
Yeah. Would you please give up on that so we can actually do the podcast?
I'm trying something else now.
We just need to just scrap this whole entire podcast and just call it.
I know.
You know, Corey fucking around with shit.
I don't understand because.
I can hear it ringing in my head now.
Can you hear that now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I had shit straight.
Yeah.
Walmart's going to catch an earful for me next time. Because apparently there's a fight coming up this weekend. Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, I want to say. I think that might be a hell of a fight.
All right.
God damn it. I really need Omar for this because he's going to know more about Danny Garcia. He told me about Danny Garcia, like, Jesus, 6-8 months ago. He's like, dude, this dude's the next guy. And I'm like, man, Errol Spence is pretty damn good, bro.
You know who wasn't a good fight? Denver Broncos and the Saints.
Oh. You know who else wasn't a good fight? The Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, you know who really got ripped torn?
Oh, the Raiders.
Yeah. Aww. That was some unwanted prison sex right
yes,
there.
Yes, it was. Aww.
Somebody left that bathroom bleeding.
And couldn't happen to the nicer fan group. Aww. Oh, no.
I'm sure there were some stitches handed out on that one. No, I saw that, and I was like...
Dude, I'm sorry. That Tyson fight, dude, that looked like what I thought it was going to be. So, before...
Well, it was two
Karen and I were talking, and she's like, well, how much is it? I'm like, it's $50. I'm like, dude, it's not worth $50 worth to watch. No. I just don't think it was.
No, it's
like,
not.
At 20, maybe.
I would have paid $50 for us to watch it at the house and not have to deal with the COVID-19s and all that other stuff.
Right.
And that was one of the things that kind of aggravated me because we all decided, they collectively as the group, everybody was like, hey,
right,
it's free. We have the free table. Doesn't cost us anything. Let's just go up here and watch it. And I'm like, well, you know, I got to buy for beer and shots and all that.
Exactly. Carrie and I were talking between Uber, beer, shots, and then another Uber home. Holy shit, we're probably looking at $150, $200. I'm like, this fight is not worth that. I already know what's going to happen here.
Oh, yeah. But I was sitting there, I was looking at it, and I said, you know what? I'll just go up there. But then we get up there, and Steve... He decided he was going to buy it and sit at the house with his brother and Tasha and Wiley and all of them. And
Marmalade?
Like, yeah. And I was like, you motherfucker. I was like, if y'all were just dead set to not come the fuck up here, just said something and
no
we would have watched it at the house. Just stuck to plan A. But whatever. So I
would have rather done that just because the thought of going up there with that clusterfuck, and I know what kind of BS fight we're getting. They're not going to allow Tyson to.
Well, here's what I told when me and Ali were talking about it. Here's what it comes down to. So Tyson's come out and he said that this isn't the only fight that he's really interested in taking.
Right.
He wants to get into some other fights.
This is probably just to say here.
I think honestly, what Tyson was using this for is a measuring stick. Where am I at? Can I actually? Because they only did 2 minute rounds. They didn't do 3 minute rounds. So you're still not doing the standard.
They should have done six, as far as I'm concerned. It should have been a 3 round fight.
Yeah.
If that's all we're doing, don't waste my time. I mean,
well, boxing's 3 minute rounds anyway. That's what I'm saying.
Get it out and get it done.
So you go in there. He does 8 rounds at 2 minutes with a legit fighter. That now, given he's also 51 years old, but his last fight was what, 2018?
Yeah,
I believe it was only 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so it's still relatively.
It wasn't a good fight either.
No, but I think really what he's trying to do is gauge himself and say, "Hey, can I actually get in and fight and do a 3 minute round? And if I can I set up some of these other fights with these other fighters and see what is his fastest track to get back to the champion? If he really feels like he wants to go that route, I think that's really what he's trying to do. Because Tyson's never been the guy to go 8 rounds.
No.
Tyson's not
going. If you're going the limit, you've got a good chance of beating him.
You're going to beat him every time.
You're going to outpoint him for sure.
Yeah.
I will say this. The one thing that caught me was his lateral movement. His
left or right?
His
it's
back
still there.
I'm like, Jesus, man. That
it's still there.
That dude is right there. And if he... I'm telling you, if that was an actual fight, that'd have been a knockout in the third round, dude. That lateral movement that he had, I'm like, all he has to do is,
well, you can see the
time it properly, and he's gonna destroy someone with that shit.
But you also, here's the other thing that we got to keep in mind when we're talking about this is, it can't be a knockout. The second somebody gets cut, the fight's over.
Yeah, this is such a sham.
So Tyson is going to the body pretty much.
Every time, he really does.
I don't think either one of them had any intention in really putting some headshots out
every
there.
Every time he did that lateral movement, oh, he's about to light some motherfucker up, bro.
But I'm just, did you see?
Because
there was a couple of times where Jones Jr. took one. He was like,
yep.
Like there was some wincing.
Yep.
He wasn't happy.
And then he'd start grabbing.
Yep.
Let me get a hold of that bite real quick.
Yeah, and I think I thought that was, you know, a lot of people were complaining about that. Oh, it was just a hug fest, blah, blah, blah. I was like, look here, man. I was like, there was less hugging going on in that match than I've seen in some pro freaking boxing in the last 5 years. Why do you think boxing doesn't exist anymore, really? Because all you fuckers do are get in there and you hug each other, and then you play some fucking Floyd Mayweather bullshit where you're hiding behind your fucking shoulder and you tap somebody a couple times and you move. Like, you're not even hitting them with power. You're literally point fighting. You're Olympic point fighting. That's what you're doing. Nobody gives a shit about point fighting in the sport that wants to watch it. I'm sorry, in the spectating of boxing, I want to see somebody like freaking Prince Ahmed goes out there, acts a fucking fool, puts on a show, and beats your fucking ass in the process.
Right.
Roy Jones Jr., when he was younger, goes out there, puts on a show, gets in the ring, handles business. He'll put his hands down by his side every once in a while.
Got screwed at the Olympics, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he got
screwed. Talk about that at all?
No. I mean,
dude, that dude got job fucking hard.
I don't think anybody really wants to bring that up because, I mean, that's you calling a whole other country some cheating motherfuckers.
He lost to a South Korean.
Yeah.
Piss off, dude. Everybody watched that fight and said, you got fucked.
Everybody
except
who watched,
South Korea said, "Oh yeah, okay." You're
even South Korea was like, "Yeah, you just got fucked." But we won, so we're not saying anything,
right?
And we don't want to bring it up as the U.S. because then it's like, "Well, shit, do we got to go back to nuclear war with you motherfuckers or what? You going to fire some more rockets into the water like North Korea? I don't know what the fuck to do with you motherfuckers, but I ain't trying to get into it.
I just knew what I had an idea in my head what it was going to be." And I'm like, dude, I'm not.
I thought it was a good fight for 250-year-olds. And people who sit there and say, you know, like my two damn uncles, you know, fighting at the barbecue. You go get your ass in the ring with your two fucking uncles and see what the fuck happens.
You stand in front of Tyson doing this back and forth lateral shit and be like, oh, fuck, he's about to wind up and tap my ass. Fucking you.
Because I guarantee
you. That shit scared me. When I saw him do that, I'm like, because it was quick, too. I mean, that dude.
Yeah, he was.
Boom.
He still has the speed. His speed. Well, I say his speed is probably about 90%, 85% of what it was when he was younger.
But he never had endurance. I mean, his job was to get you out in three rounds or less. That was his goal.
Yeah.
Get out.
But here's the thing. He could do it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was fighting every month. When he was coming up through the ranks, he had a fight every month. If you wanted to see Tyson fight, wait 30 days, he's fighting again.
I will say
he is not
the only.
He's not doing what these little cats do now, where they go get in a fight and then 9 months, a year later, they go get in a ring again.
So he wasn't getting the best people that were out there.
Well, no, but they were trying to just get him to the championship as fast as possible.
Exactly. So they kind of teed him up with some easy fucking people.
Oh, well, he still got teed up with some pretty rough motherfuckers, too. I'm just saying, yeah. He was still dropping them in three rounds. It wasn't, man, he wasn't getting handed people with glass jaws until freaking Don King got involved.
Well,
when Don
that's
King
exactly
got involved, he got put in a ring with everybody with freaking enough glass in their face to make a chandelier.
Of course.
But, you know, when you're doing blow and hookers for fucking 3 days before a fight instead of training, you know, you're still going to get knocked out. And honestly, he didn't get knocked out. I still have problems with that Buster Douglas fight because he is a buster for one. Two, no, I won't get in the ring with him.
Tyson had the clap while that fight was happening.
Well, yeah.
He straight come out and said, dude, I was burning. He's like, I just couldn't wait to get out of there. Let me get to a doctor and get this shit fixed.
Well, that's what happens when you bang hookers.
His dick was on fire, yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But that's the thing is, though, is doing the hookers and blow definitely doesn't help, but the thing is if you look at the counts that went down, Buster got knocked down
dude,
in the
he got
second
knocked
round.
Down at least once. If
he
not
got
twice.
No, he got knocked down twice, but he got dropped in the second round.
Right,
and he got every bit of 12 seconds to get back up.
I was gonna say, dude,
when Tyson got knocked down, he got 8 seconds.
He got eight. Everybody's already we. Know
everybody's been
this.
Over
yeah,
this. We've been over
it. Yeah.
But that's my biggest problem with that whole fight was somebody in Vegas was going to get rich, and somebody in Vegas paid somebody. Or made somebody rich in order to get rich. But nobody picked Buster Douglas in that fight. The only person that bet on that fight is the dude who fixed the fight. Go find that guy.
Yeah. Follow the money, motherfucker.
And arrest his ass. Which he probably paid off all the judges and got them involved too. But I'm just saying. I mean,
the other thing was at that point Looney was gone.
Yeah.
He didn't have his normal training staff.
Oh no. So at this point he was on his third set of trainers.
Yeah, he was a clusterfuck at that point. He was already on his way out. Rooney, I meant to say.
Rooney, yeah. Still the baddest man on the planet. Even at 54 years old, that's what I saw. Because I guarantee you not a single one of those punches he threw on Saturday night was over 75-80% power.
Man, all I had to see was that lateral movement. That he just... He'd get low
that bob and weave.
He'd get low and he'd do that bob and weave, and I'm like, oh fuck. That scares the living shit out of me.
Well, see, that's the other thing about his fight style. He's the only one that's ever fought like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Everybody's got the bob and weave, don't get me wrong.
Where's Omar? Omar sent me this clip of way back in the day. It's a Rooney, and they're just hitting gloves with a young Tyson.
Oh yeah, very young.
And it's a pop, 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 and he's doing just that, and he's just coming up and hammered. I mean, Kevin Rooney's hands must have been like oysters the next day. I mean, they had to be destroyed. It was so disgusting to watch. I'm like, oh my God. And the minute I saw that just the other day, I'm like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
He still got that shit. God damn.
And honestly, I mean, that's where I'm getting at. I mean, his movement's still there. If he can get back to his original style of fighting.
Well, let me ask you something. How old was
48?
Foreman?
48, 49.
Was Foreman that old?
Yeah. Yeah, he was
I was
going to
say,
40s.
He was up there. I thought
he was in his late 40s.
I thought he was almost 50 at that
point. He was almost 50.
But
that's what I'm saying.
A straight, clean knockout. I will say that. I watched that fight my damn self.
And that's what I'm getting at. It's like, I mean, Tyson's not really that. I mean, people want to sit there and go, hey, man, he's old and I don't know. I was like, well, the sport has really, as far as heavyweights go, being 5'10", and walking into a ring in a heavyweight, that's the hard part. Because you're fighting 6'4" fucking
giants. I was
going to
say, well, look at the heavyweights now. I mean, Tyson Fury.
6'7"?
Yeah, they're massive people.
Yeah, they're just
How
huge.
Would that even work? I couldn't even.
Oh,
I can't.
I can tell you how that worked. Tyson chopped that big motherfucker down. That's exactly how that worked. I mean, look, Tyson Fury is elusive. He's elusive. Don't get me wrong. For
It's his style. He's just got that.
For a big, retarded
weird,
looking dude.
Yeah, weird style.
But he can manage to move his chin and not get hit. He can move his head around the punches and not take them.
Because of that herky jerky. That he misses. Everybody misses. No one can time it.
Exactly. But Tyson, he's 5'10".
Yeah.
I'm coming at you. I'm not waiting for you to bob and weave. I'm going to hit you in the ribs and I'm going to make you freaking die.
But he's going to punch the soul out of your gut. Is all going
to
happen.
It's either going to be that. Or, I mean, honestly, really, I mean, when he has to hit people that are that tall, like if you watch him fight.
Tyson
you know,
may be the first guy I've seen that knocked people out with a gut punch.
Oh, yeah. Like dude, he'd catch that liver?
He'd catch you, and it was over. And you just get to, I'm like, what? How is that even possible?
Oh, yeah. Catch one in the liver, bro.
No, thanks.
You take a freaking punch to the liver, Hardman.
Bruh, call 911.
My alcoholism just killed me. You released entirely too many enzymes into my bloodstream, sir.
My body is not prepared for that. Shit. I don't know what to tell you.
My liver just went on strike. I am drunk. I am perma-drunk for the next 3 months.
What'd y'all do for Thanksgiving?
I spatchcocked a turkey.
I don't know what that means.
So, you can do it to pretty much any fowl. Do it to chickens. But basically what you do is brine it, of course.
You brined it?
Yeah. So
you brine it. What's in
your brine? Allspice,
salt,
peppercorn,
sugar.
Salt, sugar. This one, what I just did with, what was it? Vegetable stock?
Ooh.
But you can do it with, which I would have done if I would have timed it right and actually been better prepared. I would have done it with Guinness or do it with a lager.
Yeah.
But.
How long did you brine it?
Roughly 24 hours.
Yeah.
Roughly. It was close to it. I mean,
it
was
probably.
Did that
in a bag or a bucket?
I got a bucket, man. Went over to freaking Home Depot, got a bucket.
Yeah.
But I brined it, pull it out, spatchcock it, which is you cut the spine out of it, and then you roll it over, and then you break the breastplate, and you flatten it out. That's called spatchcock.
Kreitzer did that on a Something's Burning. Yeah. Okay.
So you can do that to... chickens. I think it's gotten a lot more popular
with
chickens.
It's mostly in chickens. Yeah, it's mostly in chickens.
But you can do it with a turkey, too. But with another good practice after that, though.
Did you cut it completely out? The spine?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you cut that from big hole to little hole, and then roll it over, and you flatten it out, and it's flat, and you have the two wings and the two thighs, or the two legs. But another thing that you can do after that is you can actually lay it out uncovered in your refrigerator for 4 days. And it's just an old world school way of aging it.
Really?
Aging the meat, yeah. So you ever had Peking?
I've never even heard of that.
You ever had Peking duck?
No, never had Peking duck.
Okay, so Peking duck
I know of it, never had it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they do Peking duck, is it's an old school method. You basically bring the bird, open it up, put it in the cooler, and keep it, 38 degrees, somewhere around in there anyway. Wow. And then just age it for 4 or 5 days. You put some seasonings on it,
You do a compound butter? A compound butter?
I did. I did a basil and garlic butter. Actually,
really?
I made the garlic and basil butter myself. And then Amber actually made homemade mashed potatoes and used the rest of the butter.
Oh, yeah.
So that complemented the turkey pretty well.
Dude, we go all out for that crap. I love that crap.
Mm. Oh, yeah, man. I love to cook, dude. You've already been over this.
I've never brined. I want to brine a turkey. I've never brined. But we do a compound butter with rosemary, thyme, and sage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stick your hand under the skin, between the meat and the skin. And that's,
rub all that butter.
Rub
in there.
All that butter up in there, all the way up in there.
Oh yeah.
And then throw it, put it in a turkey bag, and let that roast for 2.5-3 hours. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah. The butter that I do.
Thank you.
So I'll paint the butter on the bird. So canola oil the bird.
That's a good idea. I might steal that.
So yeah, no, you can steal all of it. Yeah. That's why we're talking about it on the podcast. But canola oil the whole bird, and then paint the butter on the skin. But yep. I inject the bird with butter.
Oh.
So I do.
We're kind of doing the same thing, just different ways.
Yeah, yeah. So I cheat because I'm lazy, and I just get the freaking Tony Sachery's Creole butter.
Yeah.
But honestly, the best way to do it, and the way that I would prefer to do it if I really just had the time and want to and felt like spending the money to do it, is take the butter and then you bring the boil, or bring, you don't necessarily bring it to a boil, but you get it heated and all melted, and then you take the golden butter off the top. So you actually clarified butter.
Yep.
And I'll do that on my own versus buying it, because if you can find it, because HEB is hit and miss if they even ever carry it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, but you get the clarified butter, and then you take that and
inject that.
You can inject that into the freaking birds, and that is just ridiculously good. But it's, you're also, I mean, you go get a stick of butter, you're going to get a teaspoon.
Right.
Maybe a tablespoon. So, I mean, it's, you're cooking off a lot. I mean, it takes a lot to get a lot. And, you know, it's not that big of a deal for, you know, that once a year we're doing turkey, you know, but I don't know. Last year I did a brisket. So, I mean, it just kind of varies with me. It depends on what I'm in the mood for, because I don't really care for turkey.
Really? See, again, all the podcasts, man, all I listen to, they're all like, hey, dude, turkey's the worst meat. Everybody's hating on Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, it's my favorite damn holiday.
No, I
love a home-cooked turkey like we do with the compound butter, all that. It is so damn good.
Oh, yeah.
It smells, the entire house smells. Like, it's so fantastic. It just smells like the holidays to me. It's fantastic.
Oh, no, I love turkey as far as, I'm going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't want to eat turkey for the next 2 weeks.
I will eat the living shit out of some turkey.
Hey, some people love turkey.
Will cut that up. I'll have turkey sandwiches. We'll do a frittata. Tonight will be our last night of turkey, and then we're going to have to cut it up. And then we'll make a frittata out of it and stuff like that. But
don't get me wrong, man. I get burnt out on turkey really easy, is really what it is. It's not
I think that's probably most people. Yeah.
It's not that I don't like turkey. I get burnt out on it real quick. And, what kills me is the people who just go, I don't like dark meat, or I freaking you get the either the turkey breast and that's all you're doing, or you know, you throw the legs away. Do you, boo boo? I mean, I don't care what you do. Me personally,
who throws the legs away? That's sacrilegious. It's insane.
That's the only part that I really like.
I tried the other night. I had a knife and I'm like, give me this goddamn leg. I'm trying to cut this leg off. I'm like, goddamn, I'm just going to rip the meat off. Probably why we have a mess in our oven. Well, that's probably true. It happens.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're stuck with an oven. If you come over to my house, you can just like grab the leg and goes.
ours wasn't to the point where I could just rip it off. I was like, man, fuck it. I'll just rip the meat off it. Shit.
It just, mine just goes.
And then you just start eating. Did you smoke or did you grill?
I smoked it.
Smoked
it.
How long?
It took about 3.5 hours. That's all? Oh, yeah. When you spatchcock them, it doesn't take long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So when you spatchcock them, you run them. I smoked it at 275. And this actually wasn't even done correctly. I'll tell the podcast that. Because we put it on at 11. At 11:30, it was already at 130 degrees in 30 minutes. And it does have a stall point. I mean, it stalls kind of like a brisket. It has a stall point but you're shooting for 165 to 167 internal temp.
Right.
So I'm sitting there going, we only got about 30 more degrees to go, and we only been at this for 30 minutes. And so Amber's inside, you know, she's scrambling to get all the side dishes and the green bean casserole and all that stuff done. And I actually, so I prefer homemade cranberry sauce over the shit that comes out of a can.
I don't do any cranberries. I'm not a cranberry guy.
There's something bad wrong with you. Try homemade. Do the homemade where you boil the cranberries. And
I'm not doing that.
Dude, it's so worth it.
I've never been a fan of the cranberries. I don't know why.
Well, for Carrie, anyway, we have some that's actually in the refrigerator right now. Get you a little spoonful. We'll put you on a little piece of bread or whatever. You can eat it right off a spoon. Don't care. It's almost like a cranberry jelly. That's kind of the level that it's at. Like if you were to put peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that's the consistency of it. It's like that. But it's so good.
I've never been a fan of cranberries.
Well, you know, get a UTI one day. You'll love cranberries.
Don't fix that. Antibiotics fix that.
But, so with the turkeys and all that good jazz, you know, so Amber was, we slowed it down. So I dropped it from 275 down to 225.
Yep.
And then she's like, nope, we need to go. We're about ready. So I ran it back up to 275. So, I mean, here's the thing. When you're smoking anything, consistency and heat is exactly what you're shooting for. You're not wanting the variance and all that good jazz. It dries the meat out. The turkey came off. It was still extremely juicy. Plenty of moisture. Really good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that it because it was my cooking or whatever. Like, everybody that ate it, we don't have any left.
Right.
There was four people eating a 10-pound bird, and it's gone. So, I mean...
A 10-pound bird.
Mm. Oh, it was 11 pounds, actually. It was about 10 pounds, 41 ounces, some shit like that.
Ours was over 20.
Yeah, your bird serves over 12 people, sir. How many cops did you have show up at your house?
Yeah, no.
No, that was the thing, was I told Amber, because, I mean, we got the bird on Sunday.
Oh, did you get a fresh bird?
No, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we picked up the 10-pound bird that was completely frozen because y'all didn't have any fresh fucking birds or any unfrozen ones.
You were buying too soon.
So I was like, I'll get it and just stick it in the refrigerator and let it. Here's the thing. If I got it with full intent to do what I wanted to do with it, but I should have bought it 2 weeks ahead of time and not a week ahead of time. I should have bought it the Sunday before, thawed it. Then that Sunday, instead of buying it the Sunday before Thanksgiving, spatchcocked it then.
Butterball, Riverside?
Put it in the refrigerator and let it age for 4 days.
What kind?
I got a Butterball from y'all.
Yeah.
From the Hib. Oh, Herman E. Butt. That guy, man. Them, the Brookshire brothers, those motherfuckers were geniuses.
Yep.
Wish I'd have been in their freaking offices back in the day.
You and me both.
I mean, it would have been, what, early 1900s? 1920s?
20s.
Yeah, 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 1905.
Yeah, my dad wasn't even born.
No.
It would have had been my grandparents.
Woman.
What's our time at?
I throw out, right there. Come here. Hey, see this? What's our countdown at?
31 minutes. Oh, we got plenty of time.
It happens.
Yeah, you know. But, dude, yeah, Thanksgiving was good, man. I
love Thanksgiving.
We ended up, look at those two pies. We got two pies. I got two pies from NOV for work.
What, pumpkin pies?
A pumpkin pie and an apple pie, and they're 18-inch pies.
Oh, my God.
They're 16-inch pies. They're freaking massive, dude. But they're wonderful. They're great pies. I mean, both of them taste freaking phenomenal.
I'm not a pumpkin guy.
Yeah, apple pie guy?
Oh, I love it.
We got apple pie over there. Tell Amber, you might get lucky and she can put it on a plate and throw it in the oven for you and get you. Man, you can have you some warm apple pie. But if you pull your dick out of my house, we're going to have problems.
You never know.
Yeah, man. Though, I'm not bullshitting, though, man. When I sat there and I saw what freaking Roger Goodell's fucking punk ass did to the Denver Broncos, I was a little bit... I wasn't livid, but because I'm trying.
Who was that guy? He was a practice squad wide receiver.
Oh, the guy that Hinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, who came in and tried to play quarterback for us? Yes.
Right. What do you expect, Brett?
No, here's the thing. The fucking NFL has legitimately moved games multiple times for multiple teams. And they refuse. They even fucked off our freaking entire bye week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
made
yeah.
us play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they turn around.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are getting totally fucked out of all this entire thing.
Yeah.
They totally got fucked.
The Patriots
multiple times.
The Patriots have just gotten given all kinds
of
shit.
Of course.
So are the Ravens. Patriots, yeah. So are the Ravens. The Ravens have been given a bunch of freaking passes.
Yeah.
But the Denver Broncos go, hey, we had one of our backup quarterbacks test positive. They show him video, apparently. Video came out where all four of our quarterbacks were eating lunch
in the same spot,
in the same place, without masks on, because they're eating fucking lunch.
Right.
And then he goes, no, y'all didn't follow the NFL's protocol, so we're not helping you out at all. Denver, actually, no shit, we said, hey, can we, since we can't go sign a free agent, because you won't let us, because if we sign a free agent, COVID protocol says they can't even practice or be a part of the team for 6 days.
Jesus.
So even if we would have signed one the second that we found out, he couldn't even ever made it to practice. He'd have never even learned the freaking playbook. He didn't know nothing. He'd have walked in. So we said, hey, what if we took one of our assistant coaches and we just signed him to the roster because he is a quarterback? He wasn't actually a very bad quarterback. He was actually a pretty damn good quarterback before he came coach. It's like, okay, so let's. He's part of the team already, right? He's part of the coaching staff. So, I mean, what's the big deal if we bring him in and just put him on the roster and let him be a QB? They were like, NFL said, no, fuck off, because y'all weren't following the COVID protocol. We're not trying to help you out now. So we end up bringing up this kid, legitimate, no shit, hasn't played quarterback since 2013. His freshman year at Wake Forest.
Oh, my God.
He's been a wide receiver ever since. But you know what? That kid came in there with zero freaking experience in the NFL whatsoever and played his fucking ass off. He didn't do shit. But then again, at the same time, what did you expect him?
What do you expect?
He's got an arm.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Dude, that kid had a strong arm. Now, is he making the throws that he should have been making? No. But I mean,
he hasn't played the position.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not disappointed in his arm. I'm not disappointed in his accuracy. His accuracy was even pretty fucking good. It's just he didn't know what the hell what are we doing? I'm not used to being on this side of the ball as a quarterback. I mean, what do you always hear when people sit there and talk about quarterbacks in the NFL? You don't have what it takes. It's so much faster. It's so much quicker. Everything is just going on. It's just being in a car crash 24/7, just all these things happening around you. I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's stressful. But this kid who hasn't played quarterback since college, his freshman year of college, came in. That honestly tells me.
And they've got him signed to the practice squad.
Yeah. You know what that tells me about the NFL? In all honesty, you know what that tells me about the NFL? They don't give a flying fuck about player safety.
Damn right. There's not even a question about that.
You don't give two shits about player safety.
Everybody's known that. There wouldn't be a season this year if they gave a fuck about player safety.
Mm-hmm.
COVID would have been like, no, we're done.
Yep. No, they want their money.
The
owners want their money.
And that's every damn league, too. That's NBA. That's NHL.
Oh, yeah.
That's everywhere. MLB.
Yeah.
They all want their money.
And here's the thing, is all those fucking leagues, they make plenty of money. I don't know about hockey. I mean, hockey, I'm sure, makes plenty of money, but.
Not much, but whatever.
Yeah.
Not like MLB. I mean, Jesus, that's
baseball.
Billions.
Baseball makes money.
Billions.
Baseball makes money. NFL makes a shit ton of money.
Fuck
NBA,
yeah.
Not so much.
NBA does because of overseas. Fucking Yao Ming got China involved.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But the NBA, if they have two or three seasons of COVID, where they don't run a full season,
bitch. NHL is already facing that. Like, they're talking about, if we can't get at least 6,000 fans in here a game,
yep,
it's not financially viable.
Yeah,
straight up, that's where it's at.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, I get that.
It's not a viable sport.
It's not a viable sport. I get that.
It's WNBA. If I was the NBA commissioner, if I was the NBA commissioner right now, I'd tell the WNBA, you don't have a season.
You're done for sure.
I'm sorry. Layoffs just happened, and y'all just got laid off.
Yeah, congratulations. You got furloughed.
I'm sorry.
That's what happens.
It is what it is.
It is what I am.
You are. You are not making money. You're not generating any revenue whatsoever. You are a cost.
Pre-COVID, you're not generating any money.
Exactly. That's what I'm
saying. And now we're in COVID times? Hey, bruh.
You're a cost.
Later, bruh.
You're an unneeded cost.
Yep.
And I'm not saying this to say I'm like a
no,
woman.
No. Hey, man, go figure it out in Europe. If Europe can support you, then go play in Europe. If Australia wants to support you, go play in Australia.
And here's the thing. I'm going to put it out there right now. I've never figured out why there is not a such thing as a pro, no shit, female, either baseball or softball league.
I
would tell you right now, I would watch that all day, every day.
That college softball.
Yeah, I watch it.
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
It's phenomenal, dude.
Those girls are fucking athletes. Dude. No shit. I'm not saying that the WNBA is not athletes. I'm just saying.
I'm right there with you.
I think that there's a league that can make money.
I do not want to go to bat against one of those female.
Fuck no.
That underhand spin that they put on it. Fuck it. I can hear it through the goddamn. Boom. I'm like, whoa, Jesus. I'm not touching that. I don't want any part of that.
So one of my first jobs, I was a mechanic at Goodyear. And my shop manager, his daughter was coming up through high school, late junior high school. Yeah. Area. And we were bullshitting. He knew I liked baseball and all this other shit. And we went to go pick up a car or something. I can't remember exactly how the conversation started. And he asked me, he's like, so what positions did you play? And I was like, dude, I'm a utility player. I mean, I could play any position. It really didn't matter. I was good at any position.
Right.
I was not phenomenal enough, apparently, because I never played pro ball
right.
at any position. Actually, I take that back. My glove was pretty fucking phenomenal. My stick, not so much.
All right.
I could play the field all day long, and I was pretty much.
Right.
I'm not going to say the best on the team. I was as far as my glove went, I was better than most at whatever position you stuck me at.
Right.
But like I said, as far as batting goes, my brother, like, he's the one that had the stick, dude. Like, he could go up to the freaking plate and go yard, you know, at any given time. And he just
never could do that.
He had that ability. And me personally, you know, I if I got a hit, you know, I was happy. Yeah. But the thing is I also had enough speed. If I got on first, I'd be standing on third.
Right.
And nobody else had to bat between me doing that. You know, like, the dude could just go stand up there and take three pitches, and I'd be standing on third. And if he gets a base hit, that's a point on the board.
Right.
So, I mean, I was fast, but I really, as far as hitting the ball, I was not anywhere near where I needed to be as far as to be anybody who was going to get paid to play baseball. But, you know, looking at the sport, it's a sport that I really fucking enjoy to play, and I enjoy watching it. And me and, you know, Jamie were talking about it one day, and he asked me what position I played. And I was like, well, you know, right now, I played catcher a lot in my life because a lot of kids are scared of the ball. Jeez. So if somebody throws the ball at them, they're like, eh. Yeah. So I caught. And I caught off and on all the way through freaking 17, 18-year-old. And he's like, hey, you want to come over and catch my daughter? I was like, well, you know, all right, whatever, you know, I'll come over. He's like, because the problem that he was running across at the time was, he's like, I'm trying to coach my daughter on her mechanics and try and help her out as far as how she's throwing the ball and how she's pitching. He goes, but I can't sit there and do that and look at her arm work and her feet work if I'm the one catching the ball.
Man, it's such a tough transition, too.
So. Yeah, so I go from catching people who throw a baseball overhand
to catching such a transition,
this
bro.
Big fucking ball.
Yeah, spinning like you have no fucking concept.
That's coming out underhanded. But here's the thing. It's coming out underhanded from 45 feet of fucking way, not 75 feet. You got to keep that in mind. Their mound is a lot closer.
Whoa.
And these girls, their fastball can still get up 80 miles an hour.
Oh, I want no part of that. That thing's fucking, it's like a crater coming at you. Get the fuck out of here.
But it's an 80 mile an hour crater that's coming at you from 45 feet away. So they're 30 feet closer.
The spin on that, Jesus.
That's honestly no shit. That's the equivalent of 104, 105 mile an hour fastball.
Oh, for sure. I would not want to
do
that.
You have microseconds.
Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah, I could catch it. It wasn't a problem to catch it. The problem was is when she would throw a changeup. So when we started working on her changeups, like I would go from catching her fastball. Her fastball was probably about 73, 74. But her changeup seriously came across the plate at 42 miles an hour.
Oh, fuck.
That's a 30 mile. I'm falling over.
I was going to say, what are you doing with that?
I'm falling over waiting on it. I was like, Jesus. Like, I mean, if you could take a baseball pitcher. If you could take a pro pitcher that could throw at the velocity.
That's retarded. Oh, my God. I'd fall over forward trying to catch that.
Oh, what's that guy's name? Oh, man. He actually pitches in the pros. He's a closer. Aldis.
Or Aldis Chapman.
Yes. 105 miles an hour.
Yep.
Now, if he could throw a changeup. With legitimately fairly close to the same arm speed, at least at appearance, and drop that ball down to 70 miles an hour.
Not sure how that's possible.
That's kind of the difference that you're looking at. If he could go from 105,
sure that's possible.
And then he throws a changeup at 70.
That's impossible. No.
It's not impossible, but I'm just saying that's...
That's a hell of a thing, bro.
Dude, you would have guys up there spinning themselves into the ground like a freaking Looney Tune.
You are fucking your elbow up for sure.
No, change-ups aren't your problem. That's breaking shit's going to fuck up all your elbow.
Breakups of curves.
Got all your curves, your drops, your sliders. Your sliders and your curveballs are the ones that really tear up your elbow.
I hate to catch a fast-pitch softball team.
I'm one of those people, Jesus. Man. I'm like 100% on board with them banning breaking pitches for kids. All the way up until high school.
At least
high school.
Maybe
at the
18.
Earliest.
Maybe 18.
I mean,
still in high school, you're still growing. So you can cause some damage while you're still growing.
Oh, yeah. You can cause a lot of it. So one of the best pitchers that I've ever caught personally was Little Joe Nard. And Joe Nard, we called him Little Joe because he was little. He was my height. He was like 5'7", 5'8", somewhere around in there. He was short, just like me. And everybody just called him Little Joe. And Little Joe, dude, that motherfucker could throw some junk. Bruh. He had a good fastball. I'm not joking at all. He had a really good fastball. He had a good curve. He had a slider. He had a drop. Dude, that kid had a drop. That it would like roll off the fucking table.
Could you throw a curve?
Plate. Yeah.
I have no idea how to throw a curve.
I can throw a curve. I can throw a slider.
I damn sure couldn't throw a slider. No way.
Fastball.
No chance in hell.
Which everybody can throw a fastball. My fastball's not fast anymore.
I never had a fastball.
I think the fastest fastball I've ever thrown is probably 84, 85.
All I've heard is that a curve, you hear a spin coming, a zing.
No, that's fastball.
Curveball is the zing where it's not you hear it, but that's not where the ball is.
So one of my good friends, Sam, he threw really fucking hard. He was low 90s, but when he threw a fastball, I've caught really fast pitchers before, like to the point where I wrap my hand, put the batting glove on, but the batting glove actually had padding that runs your middle finger,
right,
your top two knuckles and your thumb, and then still my hand hurt.
Jeez.
You catch 98% of it in the pocket of the webbing of the glove, so it's none of it really hits your hand. Your ones that are like at most likely to get hit is your index finger and your thumb, maybe even your middle finger. But that's because that's you trying to frame pitches. So you're in a framing a pitch. You catch it and you hold it in a certain up and down position that it makes it really hard for an umpire to really gauge left or right. He's kind of like, boom, you frame it, and he's just like, Jesus Christ, you know, that's a strike. There's nothing I can do about it, right? But if you're trying to catch a breaking ball or a slider that's coming across real fast, you're going to sometimes catch it on those fingers.
Right.
And it's just that nature of the beast is how that shit works. And yeah, I mean, I've caught guys that throw low 90s, mid 90s, easy.
Yeah,
I couldn't sit there and fathom trying to catch Orlandis Chapman. But I will tell you this, when those guys throw a fastball that's moving,
Aroldis Chapman is like at 105, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
How is that even possible? How is that even possible?
No. There's science behind it. And he's not the only
that's
one.
That's retarded.
Nolan Ryan, he's 100%. At this point in time, what they have determined and what they have gone back, the scientists that measure all this have gone back and done, is they've determined that the only difference between the pitchers that you had in 1908 pitching against some of the greats way back in the day and the ones that you have now is how we measure how fast they throw a fucking baseball. The measuring devices have become more accurate. And so that's what they say is they're like, you know, if you go back in the day, any of those guys back then that were throwing really hard are probably throwing relatively the same speed as Orlandis Chapman. Like Nolan Ryan, they were saying, you know, 102, 103. No, all day, every day, he's throwing 105.
Jesus
all day,
Christ.
Every day. Like,
fuck and
the guys that you sit there and you hear these baseball players that go, hey, that ball like disappeared or it rose. Like they throw it so hard it's a riser. That it's really what that is it's your eyeballs can't keep up with that pitch. It's just that ball is moving so fast that the batter can't keep up with it.
The battery can't keep up
the
with
batter.
It.
His eyes. His eyes and brain can't keep up with that ball.
I totally get that.
So it misses. So basically what they're saying is like between him releasing the ball, the pitcher releasing the ball, so the batter sees the ball come out of the hand, and the next time that the brain actually can register where that pitch is, it's already too close to him.
No, it's already
and
done.
So they go, hey, the ball disappeared. It's a riser. It was higher. It did all this different shit. And really what it is just your brain can't register the ball moving that fast from that close of a distance. If you hit that, it's pure fucking luck.
Pure luck. You had to start swinging before he fucking released that pitch.
You have to start swinging. Well, on a pro level, those batters, they're swinging as the ball is coming out of their hand.
Yes, you have to be. There's no way.
So they have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
You're guessing at that point.
Fractions of a second.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our Thanksgiving edition.
Oh, are we done?
No, we're done, bruh. Uh-huh. It was a good Thanksgiving edition, though. I liked it.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy
holidays.
Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye.
Later.